want to welcome our video venue also. And as I'm speaking right now, I'm breaking the bubble of reality for you because you're still in bed probably right now. But for our 11:30 video venue, I want to greet you also. And we do have multiple venues at New Life here. That's part of the little warehouse we're in. We cannot accommodate everyone in one service. And as part of the uniqueness of what we have right now. And part of where we're at and the circumstances we're in, and maybe even the circumstances you are in right now, is because you have been listening to God. And that's kind of how we ended up in this temporary facility right now. It didn't make a lot of sense at the time. But we're just so happy that we're trying to be a church that's trying to hear from God. Because if you don't hear from God, you don't really have a relationship with God. Did you know that? And I'm not trying to discourage any of you, because some of you might have been a long time since you felt you've really heard from God. But I want to reassure you, God is communicating with you all the time. And so maybe the signal's coming in, but you just need to adjust how you receive the signal, because God cares for us so much. And we're in the second week of this series on hearing the voice of God. If you get this out, you'll be able to follow along a little bit better. We have what's called New Life Notes, so you can grab that and follow along, because this is the type of series, instead of just grabbing one little section of scripture from one book, the diversity and the complexity of the subject, we're pulling references of scripture within context of what that scripture means from all over the Bible. So we compile them all together in the notes here, so that'd be a lot easier to follow along with. Last week, we looked at the whole idea that if you really want to hear from God, you have to prepare your heart and your attitude. Have you ever gone up to someone before? I mean, I used to be a door-to-door salesman, and you learn to size up people really, really fast, whether they are open to hearing your pitch or not. Things like this, knock on the door, someone goes, "What the blank do you want?" I learned they really don't want to hear my sales pitch at that time. And, you know, I should have actually written a book at this as a kid, because it was just so funny, all the people that you run into. And what we looked at last week is from the soils, the parable of the soils, that there are different types of soils. There are soils that are hard. There are soils that, you know, there's shallow soil. Then there's soils where the weeds grow up and choke things. And there's good soils. And from that, we extrapolated attitudes. And we talked about, if you really want to hear from God, but if you have a closed mind, there's just no way. If you say, none of this is real, all these people are stupid, I have a higher IQ than them because I don't believe in this and they do, fine. You have complete freedom and choice to be that and do that. And good luck to you when the real crises hit and the real tragedies hit, and all of a sudden, why is it this way? Isn't there more to life than this? You know, these are deep questions. And there are people around you that are all different paces, and they're all different points on their journey trying to discover how to make life fit and how to make life work in context of God and who this God is. And you're welcome to be wherever point you're at. But if you have a closed mind, you're not going to hear ever. God will say, yeah, go ahead, do it your way. Another superficial mind. Superficial mind is maybe you come something like this or whatever, and all of a sudden you're just feeling really good. But then by this afternoon or tomorrow, the feeling goes away, so God goes away. Because everything that you're trying to do approaching God is based just on an emotion and a feeling. So it's just very shallow. We looked also at the idea of a distracted mind. That is, you have God in your life, or you're trying to listen to God, but you have so many other concerns, and so all these other things kind of intertwine and entangle with the good, you know, crops or whatever that are trying to grow up. But then we also talked about the open mind, which basically says this. It says, before you even approach God to want to hear from God, you're basically saying, God, whatever you want, wherever you want, whenever you want, I'm yours. And that's there's a really big word the Bible talks about for that, that might not be real familiar with some of you. That word's holiness. And that's just the whole thing of God, you know, maybe I've invited you to my life, but I got to tell you something. I want to give everything I have to you. And so those are the four mindsets that we really looked at, because we have all kinds of thoughts. I am not naive to think that while I've been up here talking, that I might have said some word that tripped a whole other thought in your mind. And you Some of you, you've been in maybe Perth, Australia for the last 30 seconds in your thoughts or whatever. I don't know why. That was just a random thought that just came into my mind. But you know what? I know you're having them. You know, I know that's going on right now. So, and I'm okay with that. You know, if I can get your attention 30% of the time while we're here, I'm feeling pretty good about that. And then I could get you to remember 3% of the 30%, I'm feeling pretty good about that too, because that's just how our minds go. What we're going to look at today a little bit is, how do you decipher all of these thoughts? How do you decipher all of these voices, all of these things, all of these, oh, I should have, I could have, I need to, oh no, oh my, this, you know, how do you do, what do you do with all of those things? And how do you decipher if the voice of God is in that at all? Because really we're talking about building a relationship with an invisible God. Isn't that true? And that's just kind of a weird thing, especially many of you are very concrete people. Like, in my mind, I have been excited about the direction God has had our church going. And in my mind, I have lived in our new facility for a long time, because I can visualize things like that, and that's just how I think. It's a strong intuitive. Some of you are strong sensors, and so once you see the actual concrete, then you're going, wow, there is actually something here, because that's how you think. And so God needs to relate with each of you in a slightly different way. That being said, I think that there are 7 filters that we can look at here to help you discern whether you're really hearing from God or not. At least you can know for sure it's not from God if it trips a concern with some of these tests. Look, the scripture says this: what you think is the right road may lead to death. What you think is the right road may lead to death. And so you can absolutely be sincere about something and it can be wrong. Years and years ago, there's a guy named Ron Brown, I think, I forgot, his commerce secretary or something back in Croatia or somewhere, and he was visiting one of those countries over there, was really socked in, and the jet ended up flying right to the side of a mountain, and the pilot sincerely might have thought that they were in the right direction. I don't know what the explanation of that was. You can sincerely believe you're going in the right direction and still flying to the side of a mountain. And you're going, but I was so sincere about it. Doesn't matter. It's wrong. You can sincerely relate if you're married to a spouse in a way that in the end can lead to the death of that relationship. It's kind of like, you know, the idea of saying, you know, why can't the church just be a family? And then you think about your family. It was dysfunctional. It was destructive and everything else. Again, why can't my church just be like a family? See? And so we have all of these things that we think might be right, but because we have such confidence in just our own cognitive ability right here. But you know what? This little 3-pound or 4-pound, depending on who you are, little mass up here is very fragile. And you can have all the confidence in the world in your cognitive abilities and your discerning abilities and all of this, but in the end, it can lead to destruction. That's what the Bible's saying. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't believe everything you hear just because someone says it in a message from God. Test it first to see if it really is. And so that even includes me, you all. You understand that, right? That's why I appreciate you all having Bibles. I appreciate you taking notes. I appreciate getting feedback on blue cards. You know, I have been corrected before, which I just love, saying, you know, John, there is a typo in the notes here, and it wasn't Proverbs 14:12, it was Proverbs 14:11. I'm going, yikes, thank you very much. And then I, in my quality leadership way, I just blame someone else for the mistake. I know those people. I knew that. So the reality is we can have these things. You are to test this. Why? Because you can hear multiple voices very, very quickly. An example I love is Peter. Peter is one of the main leaders as far as a strong, choleric personality, disciples of Jesus Christ. And it came a point where Jesus had been talking and living with his disciples for a while. And so he just kind of opened up a great question. He says, well, who do people say that I am? And then they gave a whole list of things that people said Jesus was. And then he says, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter just blurted out, says, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And it was just like for the first time, I thought, wow, Jesus. Look. And all the disciples, like their eyes blink open, and Jesus kind of smiles. He says, Peter, you didn't come to that conclusion on your own. That was the Spirit of God talking in you. But immediately, they had an idea of what they thought that was going to be. This is going to be our champion. We're going to get our country of Israel back. Those dirty, rotten Romans that came in and invaded, they're going to be kicked out. And we're going to be at the top of our game. We're going to be at the top of the government leadership. Wow, Jesus. Jesus went on to say, and you know what? I'm going to end up dying for you and your sins. And then Peter immediately goes, no. I just said you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, which I have an agenda of what that means. And Jesus says, I'm going to die for your sins. And Peter goes, no, that's not going to happen, Jesus. We'll take care of you. And then immediately Jesus turns to Peter, who he had just said, way to go, Peter, and said, get behind me, Satan. And Peter's blinking. And what had happened? Just that quickly, Peter was hearing for the voice of God and then turns around, and there's this evil type thing whispering into his ear that just came right out of his mouth. And this is what can happen within our lives. We have multiple voices, and we need to just test to see whether it's really from God or not in our relationships, in our parenting, in our marriage, if you're married, in any relationships that we have, in our business dealings, in our finances, all of these things. So we need to test it first to see if it really is. And I, again, encourage you to do that even while I'm teaching. It's really important that you understand that and that you do that. One of my, this is going to confuse some of you, one of my spiritual gifts is discernment. And so when I see things, I'm always immediately evaluative. And sometimes it kind of hurts people or whatever, and I don't mean that to ever happen. But I'm always kind of discerning, and if I sniff something, it might be okay, but it might not be. It's cautionary. And I don't mind you being that way with me while I'm talking up here, because I know I'm just one dude trying to do the best I can, okay? Jesus said this, anyone who wants to do God's will can test this teaching and know whether it's from God or whether I'm making it up. So let's look at some of these filters here. And don't devalue this. The very first one is so important. Does it agree with the Bible? Does it agree with the Bible? God's truth does not change. Culture does. There's going to be a movie coming out end of this week. I'm not really endorsing the movie, but I love the subject matter. I think it's called Red Tails. And it's a story about, I think it's Muskegee Flyers. Yeah, thank you. So, it's just a great, great story of, a breakthrough in the military in the 1940s and very extinguished African-American flyers and combat heroes during World War II. It's going to be a great story. And one of the graduate projects I was going to work on was where was the denominational church that we're connected with during the South in the 50s and 60s, what kind of voices were coming out of our churches, denominational churches, during the 40s, 50s, and 60s of the 20th century about civil rights. And because what can happen is this, you can have a Bible, and you can fit your Bible into your narrow, comfortable, cultural setting, but not really have it address some very large, glaring issues that need to be addressed. And this is what I mean. Our culture, we can be aligned to a certain political persuasion, a certain cultural persuasion, and then try to use the Bible to just kind of season that. And really, what we need to do is say, if you really want to hear from the voice of God, you need to be a person of the Word and let that define your culture. Let that define your politics. Let that define your financial attitude toward money. Does that make sense? But see, but what we want to do is put political labels and things like that on it. Don't worry about that. Say, the Bible really just says it should be this way. It says we should love one another. So there are certain laws, there are certain rules, there are things that are just absolutely wrong. You just look like a liberal. You just look like an ultra-conservative on it. Don't care what labels are. Just say, the Bible's just really clear on this. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you need to be certain things and do certain things. Now, I thank God that this Holy Spirit has swept through the church, and this is why every year we have something on Martin Luther King. I'm certainly not saying this guy was a sinless saint. None of us are. But this is a man who's a great example of hearing the voice of God for his life at a tremendous personal sacrifice for his own family. You know, in our culture today, you know, everything's about family. So if it affects my family in any way, guess what? I'm just not going to do this. But King address some really critical issues that rankled the feathers of many, many, many leaders within church denominations and with local churches. They would get in their churches and sing their hymns, "How Great Thou Art, How Great Thou Art." I love that song. That was actually on the video here. And they'll teach from the Bible. They'll teach about holiness and everything else. And yet at the same time, they just have blinders on some critically important areas that the voice of God is wanting to talk about in our lives. And so we could say with one voice, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And at the other side, because we have such non-negotiable, this is just the way it should be, ideas, we can actually have almost satanic stuff coming through us as foundational presuppositions that we're living by. Well, if you're going to be in business, you just do this, this, and this. Well, maybe two of those three violate biblical principles. Well, if you're just going to have to be successful in business, you just have to, you know, God's God, church is church, and business is business. See? And so when we're looking at these filters here, the very first one, I'm spending a lot of time on this first one because it's absolutely foundational. The others are just kind of complementary to that. God's truth does not change. Jesus says something really powerful. If you read astronomy or physics or the history of this planet, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Wow. So you can either elevate the authority and the significance of the Bible. I get the whole thing. Listen, I get the whole thing of interpretation. That's very much a part of our culture. Everything's up for grabs. Everything's just up for interpretation. If you take that too far, you'll never have a justice system, a court system again. I mean, if everything's interpretation, then this governor that pardoned 220 guys, why should you be outraged? He thought it was the right thing to do. Well, I don't think it's the right thing. Well, there you go. It's just interpretation. Who cares? Do you really want to push it that far? You can't do that with the Bible then. Because when it comes to your money, you don't want to just say it's up to interpretation. Well, when I gave you that raise, I didn't really mean a raise. No, no, no. It says here, I'm getting a 10% raise. How many love that? Woo-hoo. Okay. Until you interpret that. See? So you can't have it both ways. So, well, the Bible's just interpretation, but my money is concrete truth. You can't have it both ways. I get that there's an element of interpretation. And this is where the Holy Spirit can work with us. An example, Romans says, and Jesus both said, pay your taxes. It's right in the Bible. Render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's. And so you can say whatever you want. The Bible says pay your taxes. What about sexual things? The truth stands the time of test. The test of time in the Bible, a sexual relationship within a marriage is considered holy. It's defined as holy. And so you could say whatever you want about sexuality. You could say whatever you want of how it should be or whatever. You're welcome to do that. But God does not change his mind on how sexuality should work within our lives. Does that make sense? And so it's just that it's not harsh. God, whatever he says and has and does is to protect us individually and as a family and as a culture and as a society. Because he loves us so much. So look, it says here, anyone who tries to change this, what the Bible says, let God's curse fall on anyone, the writer of this says, his name is Paul, including myself, who preaches any other message. Even if an angel comes from heaven and preaches any other message, let him be forever cursed. So there is some very basic, very clear teaching on what are the essence of the basics of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, who Jesus Christ is, and, you know, his resurrection, he's coming again, he died for our sins. You know, there are some very, very basic things. In fact, you know, I've heard some very prominent teachers in America talk about some other religious groups that says, oh, yeah, they're Christians like us. But the reality is how you define a follower of Jesus is who they say Jesus is. Not just how good their church is and how good of people they are. Look, we're not talking good or bad people. We're never talking about there's incredibly wonderful people, you know, and all kinds of persuasions, whatever. What we're talking about, are you a true follower of Jesus? It comes down to the Bible and what the Bible says Jesus really is. So another one here is this. This is another filter that you can use. The major one we got now is what does the Bible say about it? And this is, but another question with us, does it make me more like Jesus? It says in your lives, you must think and act like Jesus. Now, how would you define that? There's a passage that talks about the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, you know, meekness, self-control. And the Bible says we're to take every thought captive so that it is obedient to Christ. Now, the kicker there is the word every, not just certain areas, every. So when I feel, if I were to feel that my wife were to disrespect me in some way, I'm not saying she ever has, okay, because this is on camera, but theoretically, if that were to ever happen, honey, you know, there are certain ways I would process this then. Because there are certain emotional ways I'd want to deal with this, and it would just be the wacky, dysfunctional way maybe my family did, how I was raised. And I had a wonderful family overall, but we certainly were not perfect. And so I will default, go back to what I feel is right, and that'll basically be the way I was raised and the way... What's normal is what was modeled for me. And so therefore, if you're relationally, if you're one where someone does you wrong and you, oh, that's nothing, you know, you cut off my left arm, I still have a right arm. Or you could be the opposite of that. You do me wrong, you're dead in my life forever. Okay? So you have two spectrums there, but you feel that that's the right thing somehow because that's how you were raised. And so that's more real than what the Bible says. And the Bible says what? Accept one another. Love one another, okay? So, does it make me more like Christ? Another thing that we can look at as a spectrum here is this. If you harbor bitterness or envy and selfish ambition, such wisdom, that is, well, it just makes sense to me, is from the devil. The wisdom from God is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, impartial, and sincere. So as a filter, if you're looking to hear from God and you say, well, I just don't want to do this anymore, I'm just going to do this, you know, you need to filter this. How do you know it is not from God? Well, right off the bat, if it's coming from a bitter heart, you know, somebody did me wrong at one time, so therefore, never again, or if it comes from envy or jealousy or selfish ambition, decision stuff you're making, guess what? That's cautionary for you right off the bat that you're really not hearing from God. If it is from God, it's going to promote harmony. Can you write this down? It's not on your notes. Listen to this. Gossip, G-O-S-S-I-P, we see that very benign. It's kind of a benign thing, you know. Gossip is satanic. Gossip is satanic. It just is. If you're whispering and talking about other people, you're not a part of the problem, you're not part of the solution, guess what? Did you hear so-and-so and whatever, you know, their marriage, blah, 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 blah. Did you hear about their kid, blah, 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 you know? And it might not even be true. Or it might be a little bit true. But you know, and a lot of times, you know, how do people who are followers of Jesus in a church, you know, you know how we gossip, right? We call them prayer requests. Amen. Isn't that what we do? Really? So how can I pray for him? Really? You know, so that's what we do. That's what we do. But you just got to understand that our motives can be tainted here, and we need to take every thought captive, because some of you have just mandated to God already, well, I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that, and I'll do this, and I'll do that. And you need to take those thoughts captive. You need to take them captive. Another, does the church family confirm this? God's intent is that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. You see, if you're not connecting with fellowship, you know, that's hard. It's kind of a hassle because it just takes time to start to connect with other people. And it's just, and you know what? They're going to be messy. They're going to disappoint you. They're going to even be hurtful sometimes. But for those that are parents, if you were told that, it says, oh, don't have a kid, you know, they're going to require diapers, and you're going to have to change them, and then they're going to start teething, and you're going to lose sleep, and you can go on and on and on with, you know, just being a parent type thing, or friendships. Look, you need to equate that to friendships. Friends are going to create relational diaper messes in your life sometimes. Did you know that? And you're going to have to clean it up. They're going to make your life stink sometimes, and vice versa. They're going to be grumpy. They're going to forget that you said, this is confidential. And they're going to, oh, that's right, it was, okay? All right? They're going to hurt and disappoint you just like you do to other people. They say, well, I would never do that. Well, yeah, you don't ever do that, but you don't know what you have done that you don't see as a big deal, but it's a big deal for them, okay? So come on, you all. We need the church family in areas of our life. Now, when you're talking, get input from others, make sure that you're filtering that these are mature Christians. Because you can have people that can want to speak advice into your life, but if you look at the track record of their life, it's just really kind of scary. And you go, well, so-and-so just sounded so spiritual. Well, so what? What does the Bible really say? So wisdom of the righteous can save you. In a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, in a multitude of counselors, I just want to put this caveat here, so I take the wiggle room out of this, is you can talk to multiple counselors, and maybe there's an area of your life that go, I just don't think that's a good idea. So you just keep asking until you find somebody that agrees with you, okay? Say, we're not talking about that here. But if there's a lot of general talk that says, well, I'm just not sure, or you can go to that one person who will just say yes to anything in your life, well, I think it's fine. And they're not really telling you the truth. Is it consistent with how God shaped me? What do we mean by that? We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And then the other one with this, God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. Shape, you could write this down, S stands for spiritual gifts, H stands for your heart. That is, you know, in your heart, what really fires you up? Because it might be working with junior high kids. For many of you, that won't be the case. But for those that it is, you go, are you kidding? I thought everyone would love to work with junior high boys. You go, really? Yeah, but some people, that's where their heart is. You have abilities. That's A. Spiritual gifts is S. H is your heart. What's your heart saying? A is abilities. P is personality. Some of you have been given a gentle personality. Some of you have been given a strong, dominant personality, and God wants to use that. And then E is your experiences. Good experiences and painful experiences. God never wastes a hurt. God never wastes a tear in your life. And so you put those together, your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, and then your experiences. All of those things together shape you for a ministry, how you can impact others. Kind of like if I have a handheld microphone here, That has a unique purpose. Can I use that as a stool to sit on? No. It'd be really painful, okay? All right. So there are certain things shaped for, and you have been shaped for ministry. And so be aware that we actually teach a class on this. We have different classes, the 101 level, 201 level. But with each one, guess what? With each one, there is a challenge. There's a challenge to take spiritual step. And you are asked to sign off in a covenant of spiritual growth. And so it's not your talk. It's going to be what you do. That's how you're measured. Every one of us will be measured. 301 will be the place to help you find the ministry. So each one is prerequisite on the other. If you don't sign off on this level, you can't do the next level, okay? So that's the way it is, okay? Number five, does it concern my responsibility? Sometimes we can just want to meddle with other people or think we're their rescuer or we are their savior, and we like to the idea of, I don't really need help, I just want to help others. It isn't my responsibility. Jesus says, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. The context is, this is toward the end of the book of John, and Jesus is kind of saying what's going to happen to some of the different disciples. And Jesus has talked with Peter about what's going to happen in his life. Peter goes, well, what about John? Because there's a little bit of competition with them. What about John? And Jesus says to Peter, what is that to you? And you know what someone has called this, great teacher, Kay Warren, calls this the Witte principle. What is that to you? I remember I was really nervous going up, talking with her about it once, and I says, hey, I really like the Wimpy principle. She's going, what? And it was the Witte. It's just a personal pain in my life, personal embarrassment in my talk with her. Just want to share that with you all. But the Witte principle is really important for us all here. What is that to you? What God's doing in someone else's life. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. I'm going to make sense of this just a minute. We will all be judged one day, not by each other's standards or even our own, but by the judgment of God. We can say, well, I think I'm doing good enough. So, someday there will be a judgment. It is to God alone that we shall have to answer for our actions. I guess what I want to say here, it's a really, really serious thing to ever go up to someone else and say, God's telling me to tell you this about you in your life. That's a really, really, really serious thing to do. And it should be, you know what? I've had people come up to me before and say, God's told me that this is about in your life. And I basically just told them, I disagree with you. I totally disagree with you on that. But see, some of you immediately fall under the leadership of someone that says that. Their life could be completely out of control. You just don't know. But boy, do they sound authoritative and spiritual. Now, I'm not saying God does not sometimes do that, but let me give you some guidelines on this. First of all, if you're kind of sensing something, just be patient and pray for him. Don't let the first thing, if you're going, I just sense that you're hurting about this area in your life, blah, 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 blah. Wow, you got 50% of that right. Was it my tears that made you think there's a problem in my life, you know? What's going on to the individual? There's something that could go on for that individual to say something like that. God told me to tell you, da 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 da. You know, and even if they're honest with themselves, they need to be really clear about their own motives of what's going on there. Be patient and pray for them, and then see how God's going to work in their life. Another one is God can use you to confirm something in their life. Many times I've done this. Many times I have just said, because it's been true, it says, you know, God's just kind of prompting me to pray for you. And then I'll just, you know, I'll send an email, I'll mention it to someone in the lobby, send a text sometimes. And most times it'll be, oh, thanks. Sometimes it'll be very confirming for the individual. Now, that's not me saying God told me to tell you that he's going to be with you at this time as you go into this. Sometimes that might happen, sometimes I'm not going to limit what God could do. I'm just saying you need to use filters, because the number one voice you need to learn to hear from is God, not self-proclaimed prophets. Okay? Now, is the gift of prophecy valid? Yes, it is. Are there a lot of people that self-define themselves as prophet? Yeah. You know, you can have true authoritative leadership within the body of Christ, and there's a huge process of filtering to become a spiritual leader to be licensed for that, or you can get something online overnight. Okay? Same thing with counselors. You can go through the major process to be a truly California licensed counselor, or you can just put up a shingle and say, yep, I'm a counselor, I'm going to start talking with people on this. Okay? You need to get the real voice of God. Convicting is a convicting rather than condemning. Let me give you the difference in this. When God is talking to you, it's usually a fine surgery, it's a pinpoint, and it's usually a thing or an issue in your life that he'll talk about. He'll say something like, he'll work with just a key area. It might be an attitude, it might be a restitution, it might be just an encouragement, a proactive thing to encourage someone. It could be in your area of stewardship, it could be in your area of sexuality, it could be in your area of attitudes, it could be in your area of just your opinions, political opinions or whatever, that you just align yourself politically in a certain way, and yet the Word of God might affirm some of that, but maybe other things not. Okay, it could be a lot of different things. And so it's like it needs to change. Condemnation is just, you're a loser. Condemnation is like, you know, you have so many flaws in so many areas. You're never going to live up to any of this stuff. You just will walk away. You just will quit. You're worthless. And that's the difference. And you'll hear both type of voices in your life. And you need, you know, the one is encouraging, and the one is there almost as a coach to say, when you're not focused and when you do this type of thing, you're less effective. The other one is just like, I don't even know why you're on the playing field. I trusted you, and look what you did. You see the difference in the tone and the voices? And some of you sometimes mistake the voice of God, and the Word of God says this: there is no condemnation to those who belong to Christ Jesus. My personal opinion, I think 90% of what God's trying to say to us is encouraging. And if the majority of what you sense from God is not encouraging, if it's condemning, there's a problem with the connection then. And I don't really think it's necessarily coming from God. Satan is the accuser of believers. And believe me, he can work through other people's voices on this all the time. Okay? Do you sense God's peace about this? That's the last one. God is not the author of confusion. And, you know, a lot of time, I have found in my life when there is this compulsive, we've got to make a decision, we've got to do this right now, and I'm feeling just hurry, hurry, hurry up, it's got to be just like this at this time and whatever. A lot of times I feel like that's really not the voice of God. It's like, wait a minute, really? You know, isn't he kind of keeping this planet spinning? You know, I kind of see God in our planet here. You know, he's kind of doing a woo-hoo. You know, hey, angels, look at this one, you know. and he's just kind of keeping us going, and yet we got all our agendas. We got to head over. What are we going to do? Oh, no, no, no. And I'm just going, oh, this is God's church. He's going to figure it out. And you know, does your plan book, does your little iPhone plan book, you know, what are you going to be doing in the year 2222, you know? God knows what's going on. And so I'm not saying just, oh, it's all going to work out. I'm not saying don't be responsible. I'm not saying don't have goals. But I am saying that I have learned that God can be really decisive. And when he says go, man, it's time to go. And in our year 2012 at New Life, this is a year to go, go, go. We're going to have all kinds of phenomenal things happening this year. But sometimes it's not. And so, you know, I was feeling this urgency of, you know, calendaring certain things for this year. And I just said, you know, we're not going to do that. We're going to delay that 2 months. Because I was just feeling uneasy in my spirit of just how It was all having to come together. And sometimes you just need that peace. It could be the right thing, but you're just sensing it's not the right timing. Sometimes you know the right thing to say to someone, but it's not the right time to say that to them. Okay? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Look at this other one. Listen to this wise advice. Follow it closely, for it will do you good, and then you can pass it on to others. So you guys, these are some filters that you could really work with. I'll guarantee you this. If what you are thinking or needing direction on passes all of these filters, every one of them, then you can have a pretty deep confidence that this is, you're hearing from God. But if there are certain things in your life that you're hesitant to mention to other people, a thing you're wanting to do, a decision you're wanting to make, but mature Christians in your life, you're hesitant to want to talk to them about it, that should be a red flag for you. Does that make sense? You know, I've seen people make some really unwise financial decisions. They just kind of did it secretly on the side. Why? They didn't want anyone to come in and tell them, oh, if I talk to them, they're going to bring up three reasons why I shouldn't do this. Well, then why are you doing it? Because I want to. And that's what ends up in our lives. He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you don't hear is that you don't belong to God. There's a test. Do you ever feel like you hear from God? God cares for you, and He wants to connect with you. God's talking with you all the time. You guys, this year is a year where you need to know more and more that you're hearing from God, because God loves you, and He cares for you. And you know what? Some of you are going to end up with physical circumstances in your life, and you need some kind of assurance. You need some kind of assurance that God is working in your life, and I believe He really is. Let's close in a word of prayer.